is that from, Tim? Who sent that to you?
The Republican Party.
Are you on the Republican Party mailing list?
Apparently so. Well, you know, I'm very much a conservative. Well, and a closet Republican.
Who isn't? All right. By the way, Sarah Dillon,
Scotty's friends,
during the break said the trashiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
What?
You just said it. This is a quote. Scotty, are you going to the Plaid? Pause. If you go to the Plaid, will you get me an Easy Mac? Is the Easy Mac that little cup of thing that they keep above the Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
All right. No, that's okay. You know why? Because I get the Pop-Tarts. So don't feel bad. Yeah. Don't feel bad.
Well, you're just as trashy as I am.
Oh, I'm absolutely just as trashy. I remember being in a poker game a couple months ago, and there was like, you know, somebody, they put out food, they made, you know, whatever, and it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of finger food or whatever, it's like crap that they just microwaved. And then in the middle of it is like a big can of spray cheese, and I, of course, immediately went for the spray cheese.
Yeah, you and the spray cheese.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, spray cheese is fantastic. And I, you know, a handful of crackers, me. The spray cheese, and the wife of the guy who was running the poker game, she's like, I bought that as a joke. I didn't think anybody, she was like, she bought it as a gag and was astounded to see that I was eating it, but spray cheese. No, I make these observations about your trashy nature because because it echoes my own trashy nature. If you're going to the Plaid, will you please get me an Easy Mac? What is that book that you've been sent, Tim?
This is a straight talk about the soul of the Republican Party.
Now, is that is from the Republicans?
Either the Republicans or Scotty. I'm not sure. He brought it to me instead of a special delivery.
Fantastic.
The first time he's ever brought me anything.
I was just going to say, you know, you guys have mailboxes upstairs.
I don't even know where the mailboxes are.
I don't like going up there. I don't want to learn people's names.
I'm afraid to love. Because we're down here in the basement. There is like a sort of subterranean. We're down here underground.
We're moles.
No, there's a hole upstairs that you've never really seen. There's a whole other floor to this building. But yeah, you guys have mailboxes up there. And it is worth noting that we've been here now for, I don't know, about 6 weeks. And all your mail has been coming here, and that is the first thing that Scotty has ever brought anybody from the mailroom, which is this booklet from the Republican Party. Does it have interesting facts that
it
might
says be- here? Well, we might like this, Scotty. You might turn me into a Republican yet. And let it be known, I'm not a Democrat either. It says here, Bush's abandonment of individualism and limited government signals the disintegration of the old Goldwater Reagan coalition.
I don't understand. I thought that was from the Republicans.
It is. It's from the Republicans.
It sounds like a little bit of Bush bashing going on.
It does. The Republican Party stands at a crossroads, not political, but philosophical. And they sent me a postcard with an elephant on it. I should send this to a friend, can't I? Share it with your friends.
Of course. All right. It's 503-733.
We'll be reading more about this later.
I
do want to learn about the activities of Republicans.
And gout.
Since I live close to so many of them, really.
he walks among them. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondents James Roop and Steve Katzenbaum will be joining us. We also got to talk to Davey Nipples, Dennis Pitzenbacher, etc. But ladies and gentlemen, pay heed! It is that time once again.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So, getting back to that story. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Nope.
Slap and get it over with because this is a very serious story we're starting with.
Sir, do you have the lullaby music? Or some creepy music? Mm-hmm. I just want to read this one email.
Okay.
One email for the creepiest story ever. Rick, thank you for ruining my day about the baby go stabby story. Knife-wielding baby dreams will probably be haunting my sleep for the rest of the week. Was this idiot trying to frame his baby for the violent stabbing? I mean, what was he going to say? Well, the baby was just playing with his knife and my cheating wife fell on it repeatedly. Or was he just trying to make the kid into some sort of maniac that will probably be wearing the father's skin as a cape by the age of 16? By the way, I think the only way this situation would be more terrifying or creepy was if the baby could talk and told the father, I don't want your knife. I don't want your knife.
Here's Tim.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to start with something different, though.
Yes.
Just being the case.
Yes, you do. Okay, I'm going to keep it together.
Okay.
Well, former vice presidential aide Scooter Libby has been found guilty of obstruction of justice in the investigation into who revealed the identity of Valerie Plame to the media. Jared Dennis Collins says testimony about Libby's alleged conversation with NBC's Tim Russert was one of the key factors in determining Libby's guilt.
It was either false, which some of us believe it never happened, or if it did happen, Mr. Libby saying that he was surprised to hear about Mrs. Wilson.
And Special Prosecutor Philip Fitzgerald said the jury made the right verdict.
The jury worked very long and hard and deliberated at some length over the charges and returned a verdict of guilty on four of the counts. The jury was obviously convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant had lied and obstructed justice in a serious manner.
Fantastic. I like that they had long and hard and length, all in like especially about five words there. And a man named Scooter is going to be really, really popular in prison, by the way. If you go into prison already, like with a like a preschool kind of a name, you just skip the step. They don't have to give you your bitch name then when you get into prison. You've already got it. I don't even really know. I mean, I never even heard of this guy before this whole thing just started to implode. I just like to see politicians of any party go to jail. It makes me happy. Yes, Mr. Fitzgerald said he lied, and that's a very bad thing.
The jury was obviously convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant had lied and obstructed justice in a serious manner. The results are actually sad. It's sad that we had a situation where a high-level official, a person who worked in the office of vice president, obstructed justice and lied under oath.
See, and I know a lot of people on the left are saying, well, it's unfortunate that they didn't try to prosecute Dick Cheney. But, you know, the thing is, like, there's like prison would do nothing to Dick Cheney. Prison, putting Dick Cheney in prison would be like putting Magneto in prison. He would just, you know, it doesn't matter. He'd be running that place in, like, a day.
Well, Dick Cheney's a prisoner of his own body.
Yes, but there's a, but I do believe that there's a clot that's getting ready to make a break for it. the coagulant tied in the heart. The, you know, you put Dick Cheney in prison, you go back in a month and he's just going to be sitting there in his cell on top of a pile of skulls.
Yeah, what about it?
Sitting there on a mound of bones, gnawing on somebody's intestines. Just say, what do you need from me? So, anyway.
It's a terrible thing to lie because lying hurts everyone.
The legal system suffers because we don't know what the actual facts are. And frankly, lots of other people suffer since when you don't know what the truth is, people draw all sorts of conclusions.
Whatever.
And Scooter Libby's attorney, Ted Wells, said Libby is totally, absolutely innocent.
We know that's a lie now, don't we?
We are very disappointed in the verdict of the jury.
I don't want your life.
This jury deliberated for approximately 10 days.
It's so tempting just to have that shouted in the back of every sound clip today. I wish I would just, I would give anything to have that James Vanderbeek sound. You know, the thing is, at this point, the actual James Vanderbeek soundbite from Varsity Blues is probably not as funny.
Oh, no. It'll be great.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because all we have right now is just us saying it over and over again.
You know what I want, though? It'd be like some audio version of, like, one of those Spark Photoshop contests or something. You know, it's like, you know, like, there's some sort of icon or some picture that you got to put in the background of, like, a bunch of other pictures. I just want James Vanderbeek shouting that in the back of all of our news cuts today. Do you know what I mean? Like, a press conference was held, and, like, they're talking about, I don't know, they're talking about Scooter Libby or the unfolding situation today. Afghanistan in the background, James Vanderbeek is just shouting about how he doesn't want his father's life. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I spent literally 2 hours looking for that yesterday.
I did everything but go actually spend money to get the film. That was the only thing I couldn't bring myself to do. Because it's always on television. Yesterday was the first day in like a decade that Varsity Blues hadn't been on TV. I'm sorry, here's Tim.
Say, Tony, so it's time for you to go out and face the press and take their questions about this matter. Maybe not today. Why don't I send out my assistant, Dana Perino, instead?
Who?
He, said that he respected the jury's verdict, that he was saddened for Scooter Libby and his family.
Yeah, that's how the president feels. That's Dana Perino.
What does it say when even Tony Snow can't bring himself to go out with a straight face and talk about something? Really, how large must the lie be before Tony Snow cannot even bring his mouth to move to convey it?
The 56-year-old Libby was Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff. Asked if President Bush would consider pardoning Libby, Perino dismissed the question as wildly hypocritical or hypothetical or whatever.
Scooter Libby's attorneys announced that they are going to ask for a new trial and that they are going to, failing that, they would appeal the verdict. And so our principled stand of not commenting on an ongoing legal investigation is going to continue.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, you know, Clinton pardoned. People don't really, like, in the last what is it, like the last 15 hours or something when he was president? Clinton just, I think he just had like a huge desk drawer full of people that had been like, dear, please, can you let me out? And he was just like, fine. And he just, man, he just wrote like everybody but Leonard Peltier. It's like literally everybody but him in the country. Just everybody got out of, what's that guy, Mumia Jamal or whatever that guy's name is. Just those two guys. Everybody else, though, Clinton pardoned in like the last day that he was in office. That's what I would do too if I was president. Except I'd make him do stuff. Like if I was president, people wanted a pardon. I don't know. I'd make him come and do a little dance. Maybe like do some juggling or something, or offer to give my car a good sweeping. Here's Tim.
Well, time to stop by and visit our pals at the Cleveland Clinic and find out more about blood clots.
Is that clots with a K?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks to Dr. John Bartholomew, and please tell us about Mr. Cheney's blood clot, if you will.
The more serious problem could be if that clot moved to his lungs, in which he would have what is known as a pulmonary embolism.
All right. Yes, there is a medical treatment for this blood clot.
A medication known as low molecular weight heparin. It can be given once or twice daily, generally twice daily, depending on the make of the low molecular weight heparin preparation. And it's given subcutaneously, generally.
He's making these words up.
He's only a director.
Get this at the holodeck. Yeah, that's a made-up medication. All right. And this is, it's kind of strange that nobody's really talking. A blood clot, and again, we wish Dick Cheney the longest of life and the best of health, as we do to all.
You know he's going to outlive us all.
Oh, no, he won't. Dick Cheney.
I mean, he's going to dethrone about 3 or 4 dozen more world leaders before he leaves this earth.
Well, he bathes in the blood of children every morning, so that helps him. But, you know, he's
breakfast out of skulls.
Drinking mead out of the skulls of his vanquished enemies.
Bring me the monkey brains.
Just sitting there on top of a pile of nude virgins, just drinking blood out of a horn. Hello! I think we're the only radio show in the country to have made, to have painted that visual today. Mm-hmm. That's we can hang our hats on that. That was unique. Has anybody here seen? No, it's just me. Jason X, Jason 10, Friday the 13th, 10.
No.
No.
Wait, which one was that?
The 10th one where he's in outer space?
No.
It sounds like a gag, but
Star Wars?
It is, Jason. It's Friday the 13th in outer space, and it takes place in the year like 2700. But at the end, hope I don't spoil this for everybody. At the end, they build Jason Voorhees into a giant cyborg, where literally it's like just his face and like the hockey mask, and then the rest of him is like this huge, massive, like Robotech creation.
Well, you're saying it was the greatest movie ever.
It was. It was so good. It was awful. It's not as good as Friday the 13th 6, which is the best in the series.
That's the one. Which one am I thinking of with Busta Rhymes in it?
You're thinking of Halloween.
H2O. I'm thinking of Halloween.
No, that's a different film altogether.
I know.
No, Friday the 13th gave us Corey Feldman, though. That's what Dick Cheney's going to be. At the end, they're just going to take Dick Cheney's face, and they're going to implant it inside a huge robot, and he's going to stride across the earth like Colossus, just laying waste to cities and stealing our most supple daughters. That's what he's going to do.
Well, everyone looks high and low for brand new Hillary Clinton cuts today, but she is silent. Nothing from Hillary's people.
She doesn't want your laugh.
So let's find out what Barack Obama is up to. He's saying that Chicago would be the perfect place for the 2016 Summer Olympic Games.
From our civic parades that wave the colors of every culture to the kaleidoscope of languages spoken in our classrooms, we are a city that lives and breathes the Olympic ideal.
There's something creepy about that. Not creepy, that's the wrong word. That guy's just, he seems to be a man without flaws, and it sort of unnerves me.
He smokes cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
Cigarettes. I thought like he had, are they herbal jazz cigarettes, or are they regular cigarettes? No, he does, well, this is what we know about Barack Obama. I'm not the one to sling mud, I'm just saying. We know that he smokes, and have you seen that they've just tried to make such a huge deal about that? If you watch the TV news, they're just, and he smokes! But he smokes. We know that he has used the cocaine in the past, and I believe also the marijuana. And that's about it. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, in America, if that's all you can dig up on somebody, that's not bad at all. It's just, well noted, Scotty. Scotty is typed on the screen. George W. Bush used cocaine as well, so we are led to believe. So it is alleged. Barack Obama is kind of creepy, man. It's only creepy because he just doesn't seem to make mistakes. he just seems to be, he's like made out of case-hardened steel, man. He's just flawless. So I got to imagine, and I just say this as an observer of the political sport in this country, I got to imagine that the GOP is a lot more frightened of him than they are of Hillary Clinton. Because Hillary Clinton, I keep saying that she could win, and I think she'd probably, it'd be a draw. I mean, I think at least I think she could fight them to a draw. I'm not really sure that Hillary could be elected, depending on who they put. You know, it might be very close, I guess is my thing. But man, Obama, you put him up, he's just gonna crush everybody. He's gonna crush everybody like he's kicking over Tokyo. So I just you got to imagine that they've just got everybody in their brother looking into that guy's background to see what they can find out on him. All right.
Well, with everyone else getting all the attention, don't forget we still have a president in the White House who stopped by to say a few words of encouragement to us all.
September the 11th was not only a crime, but an act of war. A war waged by fanatics who believe it is their duty to kill Americans and impose their hateful ideology.
George Bush's greatest hits. Order now. What is he? What was this in? What?
What is today?
Nobody cares.
It's March 6th.
He just dragged out a few old flashcards.
Seriously.
Plays well with the party loyal.
What? Is he celebrating
the old 9/11 drawer party?
Is that like... You know what it is? I bet it's like when George Bush gives press conferences. It's sort of like when people shout out the requests, and he's just like, well, okay, why not? That's
September 11th is sort of his free bird. You know what I mean? Where Bush is in the Rose... He's in the Rose Garden going, and I'm going to... We're going to go to Mars and look at education. And the back guy goes, talk about September 11th! Woo! And then he drags out the September 11th file. Because it's March 6th, there would be no... What year is this? 2000? It's
7.
So it's the...
September the 11th was not only a crime, but an act of war. A war waged by fanatics who believe it is their duty to kill Americans and impose their hateful ideology.
So it's the 5-year, 5-month, and 3-day anniversary of 9/11. So he figured it was now more than ever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Condoleezza Rice is still kicking around, and she admits that the U.S. is not perfect.
We know ourselves to be deeply imperfect, like all human beings and the endeavors that they make. Our democratic system of governance is accountable, but it is not infallible.
I don't even know who she's speaking to or why.
It says Dateline Washington, D.C. She is releasing a series of reports on human rights around the globe.
Okay.
There we go.
Rick, come on.
Picked him up at Kinko's.
The best part of Varsity Blues is Ali Larder, now of Heroes, with the whipped cream bikini. And the best part is how he goes over and Ali Larder's in a whipped cream bikini and then he doesn't have sex with her. Because why would you do that? And the teacher stripping to Van Halen. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. And I believe, I'm pretty sure about this, that the teacher has, when they first see her, glasses and her hair in a ponytail. And then they see her. And it's a town of like 5 people. Because it's a town that's clearly supposed to be Odessa, Texas, which is where Friday Night Lights takes place. It's a town of like 5 people, and somehow it's escaped everybody to notice that the teacher supports herself by stripping. Let's see, what else do we have here? Rick. Oh, here we go. Rick, your discussions yesterday about, this is why liberals don't like us either. Rick, you have become Fox News's bitch.
Oh, I read that.
Did you get this email from some guy? What's his name?
I don't remember.
His name is Jacob Jacobo.
Well, whatever. Some weird name.
Hope Scotty's listening to this.
See, Scotty, we are derided by both sides of the political spectrum. Both sides of the aisle hold us in the utmost of disdain and scorn. Rick, you are Fox News' bitch. Your discussions yesterday about Hillary's pandering was spoon-fed to you by the conservative spin meister. When did we start putting meister on the end of ordinary words? That's like my thing about how everything, like suddenly you can't have signs, you have to have signage. Suddenly you're not playing a sport, it's sportage. Why is it not a corporate, it's not a conservative spinner, it's a spin meister?
I think I might have found something.
What?
A love hunt.
All right, 494, lead post on one. Ready, press.
Here we go, Hobson, quarterback.
Yeah, they say this guy stretches himself better than he throws the ball.
I don't hear any wanting of anybody's life.
Hang on.
John Lawson with a 40-yard pass. Where did Kinko
There's nothing. There's no not one thing.
Come, I remember it being in the trailer, and I found the trailer.
All right, well, hold on. Well, I got to finish this email.
I'm sorry, Rick.
Well,
but some things are more important.
And we give it absolutely everything.
Today we play as gods.
As the heroes.
Quit throwing the ball.
Come on. Come on.
Okay, I'll just listen to you keep reading your email.
No. Now we gotta.
Okay, I guess not. I'm sorry for ruining. I swear I remember it being in the trailer.
Thanks for being a killjoy.
At least I'm trying.
You're getting me all excited, and then there's no payoff there. Well, in any event, I like the idea that you're obsessed with finding it, though.
We're all
obsessed with finding it. Anyway, this email says, Rick, your discussion about Hillary's pandering was spoon-fed to you by the conservative spinmeisters. Rick, I know you don't consider yourself a, quote, news organization, but you do seem to take pride in being more savvy and cynical than the average voter. Well, my friends, you were played yesterday, big time, and it turns out you, Rick Emerson, are not so different than the average voter who believes this stuff. The Hillary excerpt you played incessantly yesterday... Wait, just in case anybody... The Hillary excerpt we played yesterday...
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far from where I started from.
It was taken out of context. It was a quote from James Cleveland's Freedom Hymn. If you had taken the trouble to listen to the entire clip, you would have seen this. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't it embarrass you to know that you have been played?
No.
No, because it has nothing to do with me. No, because it is. Here's a little tip from me to you, friend. When they write things like that, they're not written phonetically. It's not written in an accent. I've had nothing to do with what she's saying. It's the accent, which in no way bears any relation to an Illinois accent, which is where she's from, jackass. So that's the whole point. The point in what she's talking about.
I don't feel no way tired.
That's like if I just decided to come on and do the entire show like I was from Oslo. It just wouldn't make any sense. It would just be ridiculous. So we're talking about the fact that she's contriving out of whole cloth this accent to try to pander to a church full of Southern folk who she's trying to get the vote from. So that's what it's about. Had nothing to do with the speech that she's reading. Has to do
now
with
do
the,
you get it?
Your friend. So thanks for helping out, pal.
All right.
Anyway.
Here's
do you understand now? Or
you know, I need to spell it out for you?
I don't want your input.
All right.
I love that. Why won't someone send that to us? Why do they hate us and America? Why won't someone send us that Varsity Blues clip? And
somebody has to have it.
Jesus. All right. I'm sorry. We got to quit getting distracted in the news hour with this Varsity Blues business. Goddamn movie's like 9 years old. Here's Tim.
Well, that fellow who was shot at the Belmont grocery store the other day, he's still in critical condition. And a lot of people don't know this yet, but even though he was in the store... He actually wasn't working there. He was helping out his friend who owned the store. So his name is Chester Yan Yeom. He is on life support. And according to the story I read today, his wife continues to work at their own business. And you probably want to stop by and at least patronize Plaza Teriyaki in the U.S. Bancorp Tower. That's Plaza Teriyaki.
Is that down? Where is that at?
It's a downtown. U.S. Bancorp Tower.
All right, so there you go. So Plaza Teriyaki is the name of that business.
But he didn't even work here. He was helping out a friend who owned it.
That's the worst. Mm-hmm. That's like, I had this friend of mine in high school who got killed when he... The moral is, by the way, I'm going to tell you the moral in advance. Don't help people or try to do the right thing. I had a friend of mine in high school who was killed because he was driving along in the highway late at night, saw a guy broken down by the side of the road, flat tire, and he says to himself, he was like, I swear to God, he was a Boy Scout, and not just figuratively, but literally like an actual Boy Scout. And he's like, you know what? I'll stop and help this motorist by the side of the road. So there he is, and it was like the rear driver's side tire, the rear left tire, and he's helping this person move their car off further onto the shoulder when yet another completely unrelated car comes by and like swerves and hits him and kills him instantly. So if he hadn't stopped to help somebody, he would still be alive today. The moral is, help no one, because it's just going to end with you being shot or having your spine broken. So don't do that.
So do be on the lookout for that burnt orange-colored 2002 to 2003 Chevrolet Corvette with a black soft top. Five spoke mag wheels and lightly tinted windows. That was last seen. It was last let's see, seen on Yamhill heading south.
I can't even imagine. He ought to be arrested just for buying a car like that after 1972. Who buys a burnt orange Corvette in 2000? Seriously, and I don't mean to disparage any automobiles. I'm just saying, in 2007, who's actually out there buying a Corvette? I didn't even think they really made Corvettes anymore. I thought that was a car whose time had come and gone. I thought that they had. I thought that car had been removed from production. Well, all right. Well, whatever. The moral is, don't try to do the right thing ever. All right, let's do one more and then we'll break.
Let's see here. Apparently, more crimes are linked to the shooting. I'm looking up this story right now. Apparently, they're looking for the same person.
What do they think that this guy in the Corvette, that this is like he's done other things?
They're looking into a connection to similar holdups.
Well, yeah, because you don't. I mean,
in
I guess.
In the past month, Beaverton police responded to 4 armed robberies, 3 at convenience stores, 1 at a Denny's, and the suspect descriptions are similar. In all 4 cases, they said it was an armed Hispanic or Asian man who was wearing a dark hooded sweatshirt and demanding money.
So, all right. Well, there you go. Well, I guess everybody's going to start somewhere, but it does seem like it's a... Yeah, it does seem like that's... You don't just rob one store. You know, if you're a guy who robs stores, that's... You know, writers write, robbers rob. I guess that's what they do. Anyway, it's 503-733-296. So if you see that guy, give him a good beating. Give him a good beating for me, and then call the police. And we will swear that you were with us the entire time and that you did not, in fact, beat him.
Well, yeah, what's good is there's so many, like, you know, transient people in that area that all fit that description.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, everyone not, I don't know.
All right. 503.
I'm just kind of disappointed in my neighborhood.
No, it needs to be cleaned up. No, I will say this. Here's what I'm going to phrase this. I'm going to say something now, and I'm going to phrase it very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
That Tim, of course, doesn't have these problems because he lives among a good, God-fearing suburban people and where life is respected.
Yes.
In the suburbs. And so, really, the biggest problem you have in the suburbs is whether or not they run out of breadsticks at the Olive Garden. But Sarah and I have been talking the last day or two. I'll be very circumspect about this, we have heard from several people who live in Southeast Portland.
Who are eyewitnesses to hearing this come out of police officers' mouths.
We have heard that there's some ongoing crime, and that's all we're going to say about it. We have heard that there's some ongoing crime in Southeast
that
is not being reported.
I just don't understand how we're supposed to go about this, because, you know, I read these things about how my friends are saying that they've seen police officers come in and discuss it and say this incident has happened, yeah, that it just happened a couple blocks away. But then, you know, when I call the police department, they're telling me that it's not happening.
So Sarah actually called the cops about this yesterday and left a message, and she actually spoke to somebody else who wouldn't neither confirm nor deny or whatever. But separate from this Belmont, the shooting at the Belmont, this Belmont grocery. Apparently it's being talked about a lot in the last week or so in Southeast Portland that there is an ongoing series of crimes, all closely related, that are not being discussed by the police and that aren't being reported by anybody. And we're trying to find out whether or not that's really true or not, and we're trying to confirm it before we really talk about it.
Well, I have,
it's creepy because you live there and I live there, and it's just, and then nobody's, and it's,
well, the
nobody's
thing is,
discussing it.
Is that I know, I personally know a couple of these people. For example, this guy that I know, he had the police come to his house the day it happened, asking him if they had seen anyone fitting this person's description, because he had just, you know, done this crime and they were looking for him. And then when I called yesterday, the police department asking,
we don't know anything about that.
I'm like, this is a specific thing. You came to this guy's house, you asked him because you said this occurred, and you're saying that you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know.
And
I'm saying, be careful in Southeast.
We don't want to inflame the passions of the community or put people on edge. But yeah, if you're living in Southeast Portland right about now, just keep an eye over your shoulder. You might. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we'll talk to Davey Nipples. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here. We got CNN radio correspondent Steve Kassenbaum and James Roop, and we'll find out if you do indeed want or not want your life. You say that's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm Rick Emerson Show. Rick, do the transients in your neighborhood drive Corvettes? I'm going to have to get me a better class of transients. 503-733-2970. Rick, Corvettes are not defunct. Why did I think that they quit making Corvettes? In any event, the Corvettes don't seem like a thing that they would... Corvettes don't really seem like a thing that anybody would buy anymore. The Corvettes seem very... it seems like that's a thing that we stopped being interested in this country in, 1988. The new Z06 Vet does 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds and tops out at 190 miles an hour. Odds 503-733-2970. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, hey, this is real quickly. Guess what I found. Let me just, if I can...
Silver, and if I get any brown, no more whiskey.
Woo! Yeah! Come on, keep your shirt on, Billy Bob.
Third
in
football.
This is right here my way. You're going to be second spring all your life, boy.
Live by your own rules.
48 minutes for the next 48 years of your life.
The hell with Silver.
This is your opportunity.
For you.
Playing football at West Caden may have been the opportunity of your lifetime. But I don't want your life.
There you go. The worst line of the whole movie is coming up, by the way.
Only way we're going back down the field, perhaps you. Kilmer said, 48 minutes, the next 48 years of our lives.
I say we go out there and we'll leave it all out on the field. We got the rest of our lives to be mediocre, but we have the opportunity to play like gods.
Terrible. Let's be heroes. There you go, Varsity Blues. Boy, that seems... That's anticlimactic, like a day and a half of looking for that. I don't want your life. My delivery on that's better anyway. It's 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, at least three major companies want their ads pulled from Ann Coulter's website following customer complaints. Verizon, Sally Mae, and Georgia-based NetBank said they don't know that their ads were on Ann Coulter until they received the complaints. Per our policy, the network website and purchases are supposed to be stripped of certain kinds of websites, said a Verizon spokesperson. This one could be considered an extreme political website, should be off the list, and now it is off the list.
I don't know, man. Everybody said that this, a lot of people were saying yesterday that they didn't think this was going to have any effect on her, and that she was just going to, because this is not the first time she's done this, not the first time she's used this particular word, not the first time
she's... Well, she does it every time to get attention.
That's what she did, but
after she falls out of the news cycle.
I think this time may be different. I think that Ann Coulter gone too far? I think that the time, the wheel may have come around, and I think the media may have just decided it's her time to be gotten. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but I would not be surprised if you saw that the news cycle just devour Ann Coulter in the next two or three days. I mean, as
that'd be great.
And so it really would. It would be so. It'd be so satisfying. Be so satisfying just to see her tossed into a wolf pit.
Well, she should be sent to. Well, they sent all the other dead horses.
As I think our friend Seamus pointed out the other day, that as soon as she's done, though, then we're just going to get, it's going to be nothing but Michelle Malkin. Well, Michelle Malkin's got another face that just, boy, man, it just seeing her face on television enough is enough just to give me agita, so I just change the channel. But I think it may be time for Ann Coulter to go. I think she's going to be gotten in the next few days. That would just be my guess. Here's Tim Riley.
Two people whose plane went down in a rigged part of the Cascades were rescued last night after spending the night in the mountains. One of the two was injured and required transportation on a backboard for treatment. The plane went down Monday night, and the Oregon Army National Guard sent up a helicopter with infrared sensors to look for it. They found a pair on the ground signaling with flashlights. The plane's occupants are in stable condition, even if after they crashed. That isn't bad at all. Then, did you hear this weird story? Investigators think an Indiana man may have deliberately crashed his plane into his mother-in-law's house, killing both himself and his 8-year-old daughter. Vivian Pace, Eric Ross Johnson's former mother-in-law, says Johnson did have some problems.
I thought he would do something to get back at Beth. He was a very possessive person.
And so he flew his airplane. Why do they do this? Why do they always?
It's the first time I've heard of this one.
They off the well, not that I was gonna, not that they always. That only happens in John Irving novels. I'm just saying they always do this, where it would be a story that we can make fun of, but then they can never just go by themselves. They always got to take some innocent person with them. They always got, like in this case, the 8-year-old or whatever, they have the kid. They always got to take the kid with them, which is hideous on like 50 levels, and then strips away our ability to effectively make fun of it. So thanks for that, jackass.
Jesus. Meanwhile, that Texas teenager's apologetic after he was allegedly seen in a video giving marijuana to a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old.
I saw that video.
And I'm learning my lesson right here. This right here teaching me something that this ain't something that should be happening.
How's that now?
I don't know.
Come again?
Is that Hillary Clinton?
I don't want your life.
I know I was wrong. And I'm learning my lesson right here. This right here teaching me something that this ain't something that should be happening.
He had me until about learn my lesson. And then can you play it one more time?
All right, I'll do that. One moment, please.
I know I was wrong.
No, I was wrong.
And I'm learning my lesson.
I learned my lesson.
This right here teaching me something that this ain't something that should be happening.
Okay.
September the 11th was not only a crime, but an act of war.
It sounds like he's done a whole lot of them. He does sound like...
Scooter Libby's attorneys to announce that they're going
what
to...
What's going on over there?
It won't stop.
He does sound like a bright young man who's really come around, though. I imagine he'll be a Rhodes Scholar any day now. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's Jim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, I have something for you, too. Let's see.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, just you.
Okay.
Anyway, let's see here. Out of Minneapolis comes word an off-duty Northwest Airlines employee was arrested after a woman on a flight from Seattle complained that the man had ejaculated on her. The FBI identified the man as Samuel Oscar Gonzalez. He's 20 years old from Lakewood, Washington.
This is, by the way, we should say that this is a news story.
From WCCO Minneapolis.
Which we are reading now in the AM...
CBS radio station.
Is it really? In the AM 970 News Hour. As part of the public interest, convenience, and necessity, we speak about these things now clinically and in journalistic terms.
Yes. The FBI identified the man as Samuel Oscar Gonzalez. He's 20 years old from Lakewood, Washington. Charged in federal court with simple assault and misdemeanor. It happened on a red eye Monday morning from Seattle to Minneapolis.
A red eye, really? Usually, never mind.
The woman was heading back to college. Near the end of the flight, the FBI says Gonzalez sat next to the little lady. She's trying to sleep. He touched her, which he described as spooning, lifting her skirt, and then got up and left.
Her skirt?
Yeah. It doesn't say if he did or she did. It just said lifted her skirt and then got up and left.
Okay.
Her document said she felt a warm fluid on her back, and sink as she walked away.
Oh, good God Almighty.
She told officers he had ejaculated on her.
I don't want your fluid. Let's all get a hold of ourselves. Wait, that might be the wrong. Can I just see that for a second?
Sure, you can. You can keep it.
You don't need this back. All right, let's all just get a grip, shall we? This is a CBS radio station. Well done, CBS. Let's see, an off-duty after the man had on her. The look on your face, by the way, was worth the entire story. Near the end of the flight, the FBI said Gonzalez sat next to the woman as she was trying to sleep. He touched her, which she described as spooning, lifted her shirt, then got up and left. Court documents said she felt warm wetness.
Wait, so she's sitting next to him and he was spooning her and lifting up her shirt?
That, and then she...
And she didn't stop
her. That's what I'm saying. I'm calling shenanigans right now. I'm calling shenanigans on this. Because this is what her statement is. Near the end of the flight, the FBI said Gonzalez sat next to the woman as she was trying to sleep. So she was not asleep. She was attempting to sleep, but was not asleep. He touched her, so she was awake enough to describe the nature of the touching. He touched her, which she described as spooning. First of all, spooning is one of those things. Spooning is one of those words that is either fine or absolutely horrifying. And it's all about context, it's all about use, and it's all about the manner. He touched her, which she described as spooning. How would you even do that in an airplane seat? Lifted her shirt, then got up and left. Court documents said she felt warm wetness on her back, clothes, and seat after he walked away. She told the officers he had blah, blah, blah onto her. So, I'm unclear about this. So, how would you be aware First of all, Sarah, if you're just like trying to sleep, I hate to use you as an example. But
no, great. You always do this.
Well, it is a little role play. It's a woman in the story. You're the only woman in the room. I'm sorry. It falls to you. It's not like Monty Python.
I think there are plenty more upstairs.
Let's just go find a random woman and ask her to act this out with us so that we can discover exactly how things went down. What I don't understand is this, Sarah. If you're
I would punch him in the face.
At least at the face. So if you're on a plane trying to sleep and a man comes up, hello, my name
is. And he's trying to night molest you as you're trying to sleep on the plane.
My name is Samuel Gonzalez. May I spoon with you? If you're just on a plane and a guy comes up and starts spooning with you, you're going to punch that guy right in the throat. And then, much less, he starts lifting up your shirt. And I mean,
he was also a baggage handler by trade.
He was a baggage handler?
Yes,
really?
He was.
He handled bags?
Yeah, he worked for the company.
I wonder if he himself was flying on the plane. I wonder if that required bringing his own bag on the plane and handling his bag.
Well, he wasn't working at the time.
So
he was off the clock.
So
when he did this.
So I wonder if he handles bags off the clock as well. I wonder if he handles bags as a hobby. Come on, nobody's playing along.
Are you saying he's a male prostitute? I have no idea what you're saying.
He's a baggage handler.
He handles baggage.
And then I was saying, never mind, skip it. So he's spooning with her, and then he not only has time to spoon, but then to lift her shirt, engage in this horrific act, and then walk away.
I think that would be something you'd notice if you were still awake.
That's what I'm saying, and she's awake through the entire thing. I'm not saying. I am not saying.
You're not saying she was asking for it?
I'm not saying that this was. I'm absolutely not saying she was asking for it. What I'm certainly not saying, though, is that she was engaging in a little high flying hanky panky. And then afterward, it does say, by the way, do you have the second page of this?
Oh, I did, about her boyfriend.
Yeah. She said that apparently her boyfriend was upset about the incident. So that sounds. I'm not saying that this is the case. The victim told her boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. The boyfriend said, I know she was upset, just kind of confused about what's going on, said the victim's boyfriend, Mark, who asked to be identified only by his first name. I'm just saying, to the casual observer, this seems a whole lot like she was on the plane and was engaging in a little horseplay, one might say.
That does sound really sketchy.
And afterward decided that she regretted it and thought it would be a lot easier just to say that the guy did that without her knowing it.
Who randomly engages in horseplay with some guy sitting next to you on a plane?
And it's
a red-eye flight.
It is a long, lonely flight. What?
Okay. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. He's a baggage handler, not Tim, the guy. All right.
A drill sergeant at Fort Eustace in Hampton, Virginia, is accused of forcing a male trainee to dress as Superman and submit to sexual acts. Army Staff Sergeant Edmundo Estrada faces charges of indecent assault, having an inappropriate relationship with a trainee, and cruelty and mistreatment of subordinates. A 35-year-old has been arraigned, and he will appear in a military court. He remains on active duty, but is no longer a drill sergeant. The soldier told Estrada that he felt depressed after being relieved of his training status and said Estrada suggested a technique that he used previously to help soldiers with their self-confidence and alleviate depression.
And what was that, Tim?
The soldier said he eventually was forced to dress in a Superman or similar outfit while Estrada performed sexual acts on him.
Fantastic. That's so great. Just when you think you've heard every fetish that there possibly could be, you think that there's everything. Rick, did I just hear you talking about snakes on a plane? No. No, you didn't, sir. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. But thank you. Thank you for playing along. All right.
Do I have to talk about Anna Nicole Smith? Any wish you would. She's dead.
Well, here's the thing. Let me just read this one email. This email says, Rick, why does it got to be like that, you bastard? Why does it got to be the Latino that gropes the women? I just read the story, sir. Keep it up, funny man. I'll take the wheels off your bicycle. Rodriguez out. Okay, we only read the stories as they come in. We do not alter the contents of the story unless it's absolutely necessary to make it funnier. We don't change anything. Here's the only thing I know about Anna Nicole Smith, and I don't even know this. This is what Donald Rumsfeld would call a known unknown. So apparently there's some story floating around out there, and I swear to God, we're trying to get this Anna Nicole Smith story done as fast as possible. We want it to be over with, just so we can dwell more on whatever Britney Spears is doing.
We're ready for the death of Britney Spears.
Well, that's what I'm saying. is that apparently some story floating around now that Howard K. Stern has admitted that he's not the dad and is getting ready to sign the parenting over to Larry Burkhead.
Well, Stern is reportedly in secret talks with Larry Burkhead to reach an agreement.
And this is where he's gonna cop to it, he's going to sign it over for some chunk
kind
of
negotiate
whatever.
And he always continue to play a part in the five-month-old's life and oversee her finances.
Yeah, all right.
That's kind of creepy. He's basically saying that Larry Burkhead can have custody of her for a sum of money.
Well, I mean, he's got to know. I mean, that's the thing. Is he's got to know he's going to lose the kid anyway. But it is kind of a callow thing to do, though, because he's just playing on Larry Burkhead's love for the kid. And what he's essentially saying is, like, you don't want the kid to go through all this trauma and all this whatever, and, you know, so for $200 million, I can make all of this go away. So, I mean, it is creepy, but he's just a creepy bastard to begin with. Like, I don't think that surprises any of us, that he's kind of weird that way. All right.
Well, conservative columnist Robert Novak, who first disclosed Valerie Plame's name in print, thanks, prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald didn't have much of a case against Mr. Libby.
The jury decided he lied. What this has to do with the initial cause for the summoning of a special prosecutor is highly dubious.
Well, he first disclosed that Valerie Plame's name in print. He still doesn't believe that Plame is a covert agent.
You had to have a finding that the person who leaked her name was trying to do damage to her and to do damage to the intelligence operation of the United States, that it wasn't just an inadvertent slip.
Imagine that there's somebody married to Robert Novak. What a fantastically unfulfilling life that must be. You must have, being Robert...
They see each other once a week
for high tea. through a hole in a sheet. Being Robert Novak's wife, it must just be like sitting and punching yourself in the teeth every single day with something heavy and metallic. That must be what that is. I'm just speculating. That must be what that existence is like. All right.
And Novak said the prosecutor couldn't prove that a law protecting a CIA agent's identity was broken.
None of these standards, obviously, Mr. Fitzgerald could meet. That's why he didn't bring an indictment against Richard Armitage, which is Deputy Secretary of State, who gave me the information, because he was not guilty of anything.
Swallow.
He's making it sound like Rudy Giuliani. I was going to say, get the saliva out of your mouth, you bastard. Jesus Christ.
He is critical of the Bush administration's handling of this affair.
If the Bush administration had shown any guts and had kept this case in the Justice Department, not given it to a special prosecutor, they could have said no law was broken, end of case dismissed.
I don't want your life, Rick. They still make Corvettes, but they stopped making Chevy Camaros. That's what you're thinking of. All right, okay, there you go. And that's right, because we did have that whole discussion about Camaros being a chick car. And let's see. There are already watches that run on the electricity in your skin. They're made by Swatch. I didn't think Swatch watches still existed.
Yeah, there's a Swatch store downtown right next to Nordstrom.
Is that true? I guess Swatch watches are one of those things that I thought of as being marooned in the 80s. All right, well, fair enough. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's do a couple more here, and then we'll take a break. Later on, we got the CNN radio correspondent, Steve Kassaman, coming up, Jim Roop, Davey Nipples, Dennis Pitzenbarger, et cetera. And so, and we got to do this. We got to talk about Susan Reynolds' kid, who's, I'm not saying she's on the wrong path, but I think Susan Reynolds' child is at that age where the wrong path is looming up ahead. So she's asked you, the Rick Emerson audience, to vote. It's sort of like a choose your own adventure, to vote on exactly what she should be doing with your kid. Here's Tim Riley.
It's time for a triple corpse watch.
Really?
Yeah, three of them.
Fantastic, excellent. Here's your corpse watch for whatever the hell today is for Tuesday. Right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Now broadcasting in HD.
It's out of order. It's out of order.
Just trying to stretch
out of order.
As long as
right.
Out of order.
Wait, please come back later.
This item no longer available. I'm digging a phone. I'm digging a phone. Doing things that's better left alone.
Comes to us from Conowingo, Maryland. Say police are investigating the discovery of a human skull on a black cauldron in a wooded area of Conowingo. The discovery was made by residents near Mountain Road. Police also found a second cauldron
Human and animal bones, a plastic skull, a small statue, and other items. The skull showed no obvious signs of trauma. Appeared to be very old. It was sent to the medical examiner. Authorities are wondering if the items are being used in a religious ritual, but it's not clear that any crime has been committed.
No, it's just being used the same way it always is. It's by some nutcase teenager, some 16-year-old and his friends, who've got a copy of Say You Love Satan and the Necronomicon, and they sit out there and they listen to, you know, the Molly Hatchet records, and they get high, and then they pass out, and then they go home, and that's all they do. That's it. That's what those are used for. Speaking of which, that does make me remember that guy. Didn't some guy after Tim Savage broke our skull? Wasn't there some guy who was going to bring us a real human skull? Whatever happened to that guy? There was that guy who was going to bring us a human skull. What is that smell in here? Is that your Easy Mac?
No, I thought it was the Chief and Scotty got me this Alfredo.
That's the upscale
Easy
Mac?
I guess so.
That's for the hint of sophistication.
That's actually pretty good.
But there was this guy, some guy who was going to bring us a human skull. And then that leads me to this question. There was some guy that sent me, another guy, who sent me a website where he claimed that you could buy, I mean, it wasn't necessarily inexpensive, but you could buy an entire skeleton. And I
can buy, like, separate bones and stuff.
How is that possibly legal? How is it that you get, I mean, maybe it's not legal, for all I know. I was wondering how that is. So, Dave Zinn, if you see, like, a skull upstairs somewhere, that most likely belongs to us. All right, there's your first part of the Corpse Watch.
Part two. New claims of an inappropriate handling of a body at Sydney's University of New South Wales are being investigated. The license to run an anatomy class was revoked after it found problems with the labeling and storage of body parts. It has now been revealed that a former employee is also investigation for sexually interfering with body parts.
Oh.
And details of the investigation have not yet been made public to protect the identity of employees who reported the misconduct of a colleague. Apparently this,
I wonder how they...
It says, we're appalled and deeply concerned about these allegations. People who made these donations deserve to know the remains are being treated appropriately and with respect and dignity.
Well, it is fair to say that the remains are being treated with love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Language of love. That makes you wonder if that's a condom in the act kind of a thing, or if that's just a strange wobbling sound being heard in the next room, followed by, Bob, what are you doing with that skull? Nothing. back into a drawer. Nobody finds these things amusing but me. I'm the only one who finds this necrophilia to be hilarious.
And the last one. Two packages containing human body parts, including a liver and part of a head, meant for a medical research lab, instead were delivered to a home. They were sent from China, mistakenly dropped off at Frank and Lou Devine Lamont's house.
I think your slippers are here.
By a DHL Express driver who believed the bubble-wrapped items were, well, pieces of a table. The husband started to unwrap one and said, this is strange, it looks like a liver. Then his wife, Lou Devine, said he started the second one, but stopped as soon as he saw the ear. Something wasn't right. It was scary. I'm glad he didn't open it any further.
How would you possibly confuse a table with a liver? What are you packing? How small of a table are you buying, or what kind of a box is the liver coming in that you would even... How far into the packaging would the average person have to get before you realize that it's not a dining room table? It's a liver. A liver's like the size of your hand. A kitchen table is what we call much larger. Also, what is his wife's name?
Lou Devine,
drag queen. And then he's opening the bubble wrap, and it was all going well until I found the ear. Jesus, God Almighty. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, 28 more bubble wrap human organs and body parts could be dispersed across the country. 205 packages heading to the Northern Michigan lab broke open, scattering their contents.
So it's like a...
It's definitely a shock to people, but there's no health hazard.
No, of course not. So it's like a scavenger hunt. They're out there somewhere. They're like Wonka's tickets. All right. Well, what are you going to do? I'm just still back on the laboratory workers having to... What kind of a form is that you file when you think that one of your coworkers is getting it on with a corpse in the next room? What sort of HR... I've looked on that CBS Ike form, that website thing. There's no form for that. There's no box to check there.
Oh, there is if you keep looking. It's going to take 2 or 3 hours to find the right thing on that. It's not exactly user friendly.
It really isn't.
Give yourself about 4 hours to find exactly what you're looking for.
Seriously,
you'll find something you gave up on looking for last year.
Can I just tell you this, that
Actually, the CBS is the... God loves CBS. They hire us. They hired us, and their checks don't bounce.
Yeah.
But I will say, this is the most paperwork-heavy company I have ever worked for in my entire life. I mean, you have no idea the amount of paperwork. And Tim isn't lying. There's like five different websites. Where
I
all
just
of these...
want one little form.
I just want to
give up in April. Chances are you'll find it by September.
Seriously. They're like, I just want to fill the thing out so the check goes to my bank. Like, that's all
I've gotten to the point where I only give up twice now. I'm looking for it.
And there's like 15 different websites, and he's right, they all have different passwords.
Usually, third digit of your social security number, the last digit of the year you were born, multiply it by 3 with a square root of 4 to download a form of 2 sentences.
And use the Sumerian pictograph for ostrich.
And then you look over, you run out of paper anyway.
And then the best thing about it is, and by best I mean worst, is that on one
You'll
of those...
never break the security.
I'm one of those, and like, who would possibly? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna look this up and see exactly how many see how many employee holidays are coming up this year. That's what I'm gonna do. Like forms that no one would ever even want to access, not even people who work here. The best part is if you try to log in and you screw it up more than 3 times, it like locks you out for the rest of the month. And you can't do anything, and then you have to call HR, and then they just sort of sigh heavily and hang up the phone. Oh, good God Almighty. It's like self-destructive. You can't remember your password more than once. All right.
Ooh, we might have astronaut love letters later.
Really?
They just released these emails.
Fantastic.
Oh, with the crazy woman and the astronaut?
Excellent.
I have their love letters.
Oh, good times. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. Then we're going to get your thoughts on raising Susan Reynolds' child. Later on, Jim Roop will be here. Dennis Pitzenbarger, Davey Nipples, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.